You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And just barely making it in at the end of the song. This is the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. I am your host, Dale the Truth. We opened up again this evening, of course, with Endgame by Megadeth. The date is May the 2nd, 2013. Your host comes to you here without any stack of stuff in front of them, just winging it as only we can do. And we're going to go straight to our dates and history here in one moment. But again, before we do that, if you want to call into the show, the number is always 858-683-1326. Want to call in 858-683-1326. And we'll start out with the fact that we'd love to be able to talk about fun stuff. We'd love to be able to be one of these fluff shows that talks about things like the Kentucky Derby. We just can't do that because there's too much crazy shit going on out there that we have to talk about. I can tell you one thing we won't be doing tonight. We won't be kissing the asses of the Republican Party in Jefferson County. Fuck them. That's one thing we won't be doing on this show. This show is about free speech. So once again, we won't be kissing the ass of the goddamn Jefferson County Republican Party. We don't do that on this show. Number two, we won't be talking about stupid-ass celebrities. We won't be talking about some idiot like Tim Tebow, who is a horrible football player. We won't be talking about any of that crap tonight. We will be talking about the important issues. And starting from the top, we go back to This Week in History. It was 43 years ago this week that we had the government opening up their massacre on the students at Kent State University. And we also have this that comes to us. Our good friend Michael Brown reminds us that today was the National Day of Prayer. And I will go straight to what my good friend Michael Brown had to say about this issue and share that with you guys. And I quote, Mr. Brown says, "Today is the National Day of Prayer, and his belief system and that of our founders, our rights come from God, and when man tries to be at and legislate away those rights, very bad things happen. Please join us today in praying for the country that she may be preserved and guided and have champions raised up to protect her." Well, at least Michael didn't say politicians or government leaders, because I don't consider them my government leaders. But as Benjamin Franklin said, when the Continental Congress had lost its way and was in grave danger of great failure, that was when Benjamin Franklin said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men." And he said that if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that that an empire can raise without his aid? And Mr. Franklin went ahead and said, "We have been assured, sir, that except he build a house, they labor in vain to build it." And Michael, our good friend Michael Brown, says he firmly believes this and believes that without his concurring aid that we shall succeed in political building no better than the builders of Babel. And we've all talked about the modern Roman Empire, and that's probably what we're looking at. It's pretty much the modern Roman Empire because everybody loves their bread and circuses. Everybody loves to sit and watch their stupid-ass TV shows and get into their dumb reality bullshit instead of taking back their country. And that's what we are all about here. And we go way back for decades now, back to my late great good friend Norman Davis started a group called Take Back Kentucky, and we've been trying to do that ever since. Now, we wanted to come to the air with the story that we teased last night on the Ed Springsteen show, and that was about this year's Bilderberg meetings. And we also, unfortunately, bring the news of another great patriot's death. And no, I'm not going to say there's some conspiracy involved. I know some of the smartasses out there that want to be skeptical of conspiracy theories and don't think there's conspiracies. They say, "Oh, are you going to say there's some conspiracy behind this one?" No, I'm not. But the bottom line is we lost probably the greatest journalist who covered the Bilderberg movement that we've ever had, the one who really opened up the curtain to the Bilderberg movement when nobody else would dare speak of it. And that gentleman was Jim Tucker. Big Jim, or James P. Tucker, was born on December 31st, 1934, and unfortunately passed away this past weekend. Mr. Tucker passed away due to complications he had suffered following a fall. And Jim Tucker's only regret was probably the fact that he didn't outlive his sworn nemesis of more than a quarter century, international bankster David Rockefeller. You see, the former editor of the colorful American Free Press and still a continuing correspondent for that newspaper, Jim Tucker died at a hospital in Virginia on Sunday, age 78, following complications arising from injuries after he'd fallen down the steps at his home. And if you're new to this show, and we know that the show is growing all the time, we see the numbers, we know that Patriots and jackbooted thugs alike listen to the show. We know you're out there. We see the IP addresses. We are on to you. And for those who don't know, Mr. Tucker was best known for having trailed the aforementioned Rockefeller and the members of such high-level power groups as the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and most notably, the aforementioned Bilderberg Group. Literally all over the planet, Mr. Tucker trailed these guys for decades. He was much of a hard-driving investigative reporter, and there is one, and hard to rival. Mr. Tucker, by his own admission, had been a conventional journalist with a wide range of experience in the mainstream press before he started writing for the Spotlight. And before you start writing to me, yeah, I get that people bitch about the Spotlight, and they claim it was anti-Semitic, and they claim all this bullshit, and I'm not going to listen to that shit tonight. But despite all his years in the media, Tucker had never once heard of Bilderberg until he realized, as many journalists should, that there was something wrong. I think a lot of these guys know that there's something wrong, people who are high-level plants like Anderson Cooper and that one guy, Rachel Maddow, that one guy, they're higher level plants. They know what's going on. Some journalists don't know. Some journalists don't care. But as Jim Tucker, the late great Jim Tucker, summarized, if 100 of the world's best known sports figures or Hollywood movie stars were gathered at some exclusive resort behind closed doors for a meeting, a private gathering, the entire mass media would be outside the building on hand. They'd be clamoring for admittance and demanding to know what was going on inside. But when the world's richest bankers, media barons, industrialists, members of royalty, and political leaders were meeting secretly and discussing public policy matters that impact the course of the world's affairs, the establishment press never said a damn word. You see, from 1975 to 1982, Mr. Jim Tucker supervised a wide-ranging array of journalists who trailed the Bilderberg and Trilateral gangs here and abroad. But the real breaking point for Tucker was in 1983, when he himself went on the road as the man on the scene, and he scorched the Bilderbergers and Trilateralist with blistering real-time news coverage from Japan to Portugal to France, England, Germany, wherever and whenever the global intriguers would meet, even as the rest of the American media remained mum and didn't say a damn word. Tucker's pioneering investigations unveiled their plans. And Tucker was instrumental in showing us that the Bilderberg Trilateral plans had a direct impact on public policy, affecting every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. Now, each and every year, up until last year, Jim Tucker, Big Jim Tucker, was there at the Bilderberg meetings, hustling around, grooming sources, getting plants and molds inside the hotels. Jim Tucker would literally drive the Bilderberg elite up the wall. On one occasion, he actually discovered a secret listening device in the wall of the hotel room. He removed it and kept it as evidence. He was occupying an inn close to the Bilderberg's gathering. at one of the exclusive resorts that the shadowy intriguers regularly met. See, in recent years, as more and more journalists finally became aware and actually knew about, or maybe actually act like they gave a damn about these secret meetings and started arriving on the scene themselves, Tucker became the man to see, the grizzled veteran journalist, unabashed journalist from an old school. Tucker maintained regular contact with a number of sympathetic sources, both inside and close to the Bilderberg elite, up to his death. And having slowed down considerably in recent months due to health issues, Tucker had just decided not to attend this year's gathering, which we'll get into later if we have time, passing his torch instead to American Free Press correspondent Mark Anderson. Mark Anderson had joined Tucker in covering a number of recent Bilderberg gatherings, but if anything is for certain, it is this. The old Bilderberg hound, Jim Tucker, will be there in spirit and given the opportunity. Maybe his arch nemesis, David Rockefeller, won't be shortly behind him. Jim Tucker is survived by two sons and literally millions and millions of friends and admirers around the world who appreciate what Tucker did in his real journalism they represent in every sense of the word. His literary legacy, includes thousands of articles. And his classic memoir that you should all check out is called Jim Tucker's Bilderberg Diary. See, Tucker didn't have a big fancy website. He wasn't into the latest social media. But the significance of his decades of dogged exposure of the criminal banksters is without equal, in my opinion. He's a towering example of a true hero, and we say rest in peace, Mr. Jim Tucker. Now, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the news right now. And I think the next story, as I compel the stack of stuff on the cuff here, off just the edges of the seat here, trying to gather together enough information that CNN and Fox News and NPR and other people like Clear Channel, the big 50,000-watt blowjob torch, Salem Radio, and all these people, both left and right-wing media, won't cover. That's what we do here on the My View Matters Network. We cover the stories that they won't touch. And I think one of the most important ones right now is a poll. And usually we don't give a lot of credit to polls. This actually comes from Talking Points Memo. Talking Points Memo reports that 30% of registered American voters, hear me now, 30% of registered American voters believe that an armed rebellion might be necessary in the next few years. According to the results of a staggering poll released by Fairleigh Dickinson University. And I've had people ask me, is it a setup? Is it a false diversion? I don't know. But the survey was aimed at measuring public attitudes toward gun issues. And the survey found that 29 to 30% of Americans agree with the statement. Now remember, this is a formed statement by the polling group, so it is their job to get polling numbers. But 3 in 10 registered Americans agree with the following statement. Quote, in the next few years, an armed revolution may be necessary in order to protect our liberties. And when you have 3/10 of the poll say yes, they agree with that, what does that tell you about the state of the country? The poll also found that 25%, 1 in 4 voters, believe that we were lied to about the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. I think you all remember us talking about that on the airwaves here, how you weren't getting the whole story months ago. 25% of voters said that they believed that the school shooting was being covered up by people seeking to promote a political agenda. You see, the eye-opening findings serve as a reminder that Americans' deeply held beliefs about gun rights have a tendency to cross over into outright conspiracy theories. See, folks, it's not paranoia and conspiracy theory stuff when we brought to you the airwaves years ago about the reports that they now saw gun owners as the enemy. It's not a conspiracy theory when we bring to you a news story that was above the fold on a Drudge Report today that said Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw, said, "We want people to call us if the guy down the street from you hates the government." You see, Florida House and Senate leaders, remember, this is a predominantly Republican group, folks. Florida House and Senate leaders have awarded Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw $1 million in tax dollars for a new violence prevention unit aimed at preventing tragedies like those in Newtown, Connecticut, and Aurora, Colorado, from occurring on his turf. So think about this for a minute. We just gave you the results of a poll where 30% of registered voters think that armed rebellion might soon be necessary against your government, your big, wonderful, loving government, and 25% of them think that you're being lied to about Sandy Hook. But in the same day's news cycle, we see this Florida sheriff getting $1 million for a, quote, violence prevention unit, unquote, that will prevent such tragedies. And he says in this story that if the guy down the street from you hates the government, he wants you to call him. Well, you can call him if you want, but if you have your own view on the story, if you disagree with me, if you think you should call him, if you're a jackbooted thug and you believe in this bullshit, then I want to hear from you too. You can call us again, 858-683-1326. But Sheriff Bradshaw down in Palm Beach County said his proposal hopefully will become a model for the rest of the state, like his gang prevention and pill mill units. See the unsuccessful war on drugs. Bradshaw is readying a hotline. He plans public service announcements to encourage local citizens to report their neighbors, to report their friends, to report their family members if they fear that they could be harmful. He says the goal won't be to arrest these people, but to get them help. This is where they say you're all mentally ill if you believe in guns, if you don't worship your government and bend over and kiss its ass. You're a conspiracy theorist and you're a troublemaker. But see, even the mental health advocates worry about such a potential new source of stigma. Liz Downey, executive director of the Palm Beach County Alliance on Mental Illness, said, "How are they possibly going to watch everybody who makes comments against the government? It's subjective. And hands up, or we give a hand up or a handout, whatever you want to say, to Liz Downey for this comment." She said, "We don't want to take away people's civil liberties just because people aren't behaving the way that others think they should be." And she's right. And of course, the proposal still needs the blessings of neocon Republican governor, who has line item veto authority. But if it goes forward, it's a scary, scary proposition that this sheriff down in Palm Beach County, Florida, is putting out there. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show with Dale the Truth on the My View Matters Radio Network. And we'll join you again after this break.
Papa. We'll be right back. room. You could call it that a week ago. I never do what I'm supposed to do. Hardly even know my name anymore. When no one calls it out, kind of vanishes away. And I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same to me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home. Drive through Talladega on a weekend in October. Head up north to Jacksonville. Cut around and over. Watch your speed for the friends. They ain't got a thing to do. They'll get you every time. Somebody take me home. Through those Alabama pines. Somebody take me home.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, you are listening to the TNT Radio Show with your host, Dale the Truth, on the My View Matters Radio Network here on Thursday, May the 2nd, 2013. And we went into break there, came back in with Alabama Pines by Jason Isbell. And before that, a little Lynyrd Skynyrd with Was I Right or Wrong? And we want to know, were the government officials right or wrong when it comes to the Boston Marathon bombing? You see, we heard President Obama, dear leader Obama, telling us, giving us a stern warning about these lone gunmen. But again, if we're to be sternly warned about lone gunmen, then how do you explain Boston police yesterday taking three more suspects into custody? And we're supposed to believe that it's just a couple of brothers up to no good. How do we explain Boston police with three additional suspects in custody as of Tuesday? A spokeswoman at the Boston Police Department directed all questions on the suspects to the FBI, surprise, surprise, which has yet to disclose their identities. But the Boston Globe reports, citing a named source, that they are the three college students that are suspects, and they are aides to Zokhar Sarnov after he allegedly bombed the marathon. NBC says that the three have been under FBI surveillance for 10 days. The suspects were roommates with Zokhar in college. And of course, Zokhar Sarnov was a 19-year-old college student and charged with killing three and injuring more than 200 in the bombs last month. Now, right there, we see several suspects involved. And like I said, it wasn't that long ago. It was just several days ago that the president was giving his stern warning about lone gunmen. That letting us know the difficulty that agencies face in tracking and preventing lone gunmen like the one in Boston earlier this month. There's a YouTube out there on that. And he was warning about this, but yet we see that now there are several suspects involved in this. Why is it they didn't get these several suspects when they had declared martial law on the city in Massachusetts and shut everybody down in their homes? Why was it that they couldn't find these people when they had told people not to come out of their homes and they couldn't come out on the streets or go to work or go to school or go to the store? These things are very suspicious, my friend, and it doesn't mean that we're promising or promoting a conspiracy at hand. It just means we want answers. Just like our intro says, we want the truth, and the people can't handle the truth. If we have these bombs, we're supposed to all believe that there were all these bombs. The question is, if there were all these bombs, then where the heck were the ball bearings and nails? If you look at the videos and photos, you can't find a nail or a ball bearing in any of them. Wouldn't they have hit more people? You had a bomb that apparently just shredded a guy's legs right off, but it didn't hurt the limbs of anyone else around him. And the smoke blast went up. So there it is on the ground, but no nail or ball bearings anywhere. I'm just asking questions, folks. Like Jesse Ventura said when he goes on these shows, the very few that haven't blacklisted him, and he says he doesn't have all the answers, but he has a lot of questions. And you got to read about these latest suspects, because the claim is they lied to the FBI about the whereabouts of the two brothers and that they got rid of evidence in their home. How the hell would the FBI know that they got rid of evidence if they got rid of it? This is over a week later, and yeah, I know they've been monitoring them for 10 or 12 days, but did the FBI then go to the local dump and dig through the trash of thousands of people and find something? If so, what did they find? And then you had this girl who was one of the suspects, the Terrorista license plate that she had on the front of her car, which apparently is some sort of fad thing going on with younger people right now, this Terrorista thing. But it's even in a song, I believe I'm told, but the media is spinning it wild, like her license plate declares that she's a terrorist. Boston Globe had an article that alleged second suspect asked for legal representation multiple times during his interrogation, but he was denied. And herein lies the problem. I hear a lot of neocon talk shows where people call in and say, oh, you just need to hang these guys, be jury, judge, and executioner. But the guy that took him into custody we're told, is an American citizen, a legalized American citizen. And if you're a legalized American citizen, you should be, first of all, read your Miranda rights, which he was not, and be able to acquire legal representation. And again, when you say these things, you risk people alienating you and saying, oh, you're trying to take the side of them, and you're, no, no, no. It's just that we're not getting the whole story. If you think the government's telling you the whole story, then you go right along and believe whatever the government tells you. I'm telling you, you should question things. I'm telling you, you should ask questions and be suspicious of things. That's what I'm telling you. So you got the same president who warned us about lone gunmen. Then we find out they have 4 or 5 suspects in custody now. I guess 4 if you count the brother originally taken in when we had the martial law declared in the city of Massachusetts. And you got the same president who just came out today and says he's really comfortable with his administration's decision to allow 15-year-old girls to buy the morning after abortion pill. I know that was a big jump there. I don't really know where else to go with it, except we were talking about terrorism and we were talking about deaths. And again, if we're going to talk about terrorism and deaths, hell, we got an abortion doctor on trial. Nobody's talking about that story in the mainstream press. And you got a United States president in Obama who says he's okay with 15-year-old girls buying the morning after abortion pill over the counter. And Obama was at a news conference in Mexico. He said that the FDA's decision to do this was based on, quote, solid scientific evidence, unquote. And what is still unclear is whether the administration will prevail on its appeal of a court order that would again lift all age limits on purchasing this morning after pill. And, of course, that decision to appeal set off a storm of criticism from reproductive rights groups who say it's politically motivated and it's a step backwards for women's health. And the problem we get into here is I'm very libertarian, small L libertarian in my beliefs. And so, therefore, I get gun fodder, metaphorically speaking, from both sides because I don't believe that abortion should be legal. And I also don't believe it should be a federal issue. You don't want to have every murder committed in your city or state tried in Washington, D.C., do you? And that's the thing about abortion. This is why you get fodder from both sides if you take the state's rights issue or the state's rights platform on this. And that is to say, a murder is a murder is a murder. Let it be decided on a state level. Kentucky has made it very clear in their legislature, with everything else that they get wrong, the legislature has made itself very clear that it's fairly pro-life. There's a big, big difference, folks, in an adult woman going and getting an early first trimester abortion, and a 15-year-old girl being able to buy the morning after abortion pill over the counter at Walgreens or CVS. If you disagree with me, let me know, but I think there's a big difference there. And if you think Obama isn't outrageous with his statements, let's look over at his vice president. Joe Biden, he has one of these drunken stupor statements just about every day, doesn't he? Joe Biden has these statements he comes out with all the time. Joe Biden came out this week and said that many women who are raped or physically abused don't report it because they don't want, in his words, to get raped again by the system. Well, maybe we found something we agree with Joe Biden on here, because I think a lot of us are getting raped by this system, Mr. Vice President. I think when you have a monopoly on coercion and violence, and you can tell us you're going to pay X, Y, and Z in property taxes, sales taxes, income taxes, road taxes, gas taxes, payroll taxes, or we're going to take you away. That is a monopoly on violence that the government has. So maybe Biden and I agree on something finally. Maybe Joe Biden and I agree that we all get raped by the system. But the problem is we have this Violence Against Women Act, a $2 billion, with a B, $2 billion boondoggle annually that is used to bribe law enforcement to do what they are already being paid for. It puts an asterisk next to half the Constitution's Bill of Rights, and that would be the ones for men. But on the bright side, I guess it keeps the unemployment rate down for women's studies grads and lesbians. So we'll go to the phone now. We go straight to the phone here in Louisville, Kentucky, and caller, you on the air. Who's this?
Hey, Dale. What's up? It's Mayo.
Hey, Mayo. How you doing, brother?
Oh, pretty good. I kind of getting in the show late. I didn't know if it was something you'd already covered, but national-wise, but thing one and thing two is, you know, Ed likes to call them.
Yeah.
The two brothers. They received over $100,000 in welfare assistance. The younger brother may have gotten financial college assistance and driving a Mercedes-Benz. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know
about
some people, but does that irk you as it irks me?
Well, it does, because I'm one of those people, when we start talking about all the trouble in things like government schools, I say, hey, well, that's why you shouldn't have a government school. So maybe this will be a reason for us to stop offering out so much free government aid to people. But I really doubt that too many administration people or too many government bureaucrats, too many of the whores in Washington are going to suddenly say we should have less student aid because of thing number one and number two.
Well, you know, it's like here, well, as much research as they do, it's like, I can't remember the comedian that said it, you know, was talking about Osama bin Laden, unable to find him, and they're going, heck, the student loan people found me in the middle of the jungle in Vietnam. you know, as much background information and check as, you know, they supposedly do,
right,
you know, for, you know, the welfare net, how come, you know, something else wasn't found or discovered? And like I said, it irks me because here my tax dollars went to pay for, you know, a terrorist subject to be here and in the United States and to kill an 8-year-old boy and take the legs off another person and, you know, wound, you know, I can't remember the final count, over 200 people.
Right. Well, the question I would ask, Mayo, is what about the warning? I mean, if we're to believe what we hear in the media, what about the alleged warning that Saudi Arabia gave us about the bombers? I mean, people get mad at me when I talk about Saudi Arabia, and you can actually go look up pictures on the internet where George W. Bush was literally holding hands with Saudi Arabian male sheiks. That should get the neocon anti-gay crowd pissed off, but there are pictures out there. You want to talk about being in bed with them figuratively and metaphorically and literally. And George Bush loved the Saudi Arabians. And, of course, hell, look what happened when we had a great majority of Saudi Arabians attack the Twin Towers. We went and let Iraq have it. I mean, so Saudi Arabia is this country that we've been kind of keeping our eye on. We won't do anything about it because they're too big for us to go and turn into a parking lot. They're too big for us to go and, quote-unquote, spread democracy. But the Saudi Arabian government supposedly warned the U.S. government about these two bombers, right?
Yeah, well, not only that, the Russian government called because they had actually wiretapped the bombing suspect, the conversation with the mother where they talked about jihad.
Yep.
And, you know, the mother was also on Russia's terrorist list.
Yep. So it makes you wonder what's true and what's not true. What I did mention earlier, like you said, you may have missed it, was I mentioned the fact that they spent all those tax dollars and they shut down the whole city up there in Massachusetts and they declared martial law in that city. And why is it they only got one guy out of that, but now they went and got three or four more people? Why couldn't they gotten those guys when they had the whole city under martial law?
Well, supposedly they had them. Then they let them go. Oh. Then they got them back because it, when they further investigation, they had thrown one of the brothers had called the one that didn't have the student visa, but they still allowed him back into the country,
right,
even though he shouldn't have been allowed back in.
Right.
They'd thrown away a backpack full of hollowed out fireworks that they used to get, you know,
yeah,
to access gunpowder for the
explosives.
Yeah,
I heard that. Yeah.
But yet the attorney's going, oh, my client's innocent. He just threw away evidence. So how is he innocent?
Yeah, and I'm glad you said evidence because I'm glad you said evidence, Mayo, because how was it that they found this guy hiding in someone's boat? I mean, they literally missed the boat on that one, I guess, but how was it they found this guy hiding in a backyard in a boat, and his body was so maimed and violently torn up from the quote-unquote gunfire, but yet they didn't have any guns on him when they found him? Who was shooting at them? I mean, I've heard nobody briefly.
You know, yeah,
where nobody answered the question
about window.
Where are the firearms? Where are the firearms, Mayo, that this guy had? If there supposedly was a shootout and there was all this gunfire and a firefight, where's the weapon at? I mean, where's what he used to have a firefight with him? We never heard anything about the weapon, and we know how much they love to use situations like Aurora and what's the town, Connecticut. We know how they love to use these situations, Sandy Hook, and they love to tell us about how bad weapons are. So why haven't they told us about the evil weapons that this guy used?
Well, there's one liberal, what is it, City College of New York or City College of Boston, or
mm-hmm.
I don't know, but she wrote an op-ed piece trying to say that the police used excessive force in capturing, you know, the suspects. And I'm sitting here thinking, how do you use excessive force against somebody that's driving through a city tossing bombs out a window, you know, out of the windows of a car during the chase?
Yeah, and I don't think I can agree with her on that, but I definitely think they use excessive force on innocent bystanders, forcing them to stay in their home when we've gotten offhand reports of people having their firearms taken from them, a la the hurricane in New Orleans when people had their firearms taken away from them when that hurricane came through. So we know that they used unnecessary force against, you know, unarmed after they took their weapons from them or innocent bystanders. So I guess I'm not as concerned about the force that they used against thing number one and thing number two. I am concerned that if he is, as they tell us, this alleged killer is a U.S. citizen, legalized U.S. citizen, why he didn't have Miranda rights or wasn't offered legal protection. I mean, you can't have it both ways. If people think it's horrible to read him his Miranda rights and people think it's horrible for him to seek legal counsel, then you need to change the system legally to make it harder for these illegal immigrants to become legal.
Well, under the one thing, you know, I talked with Ed, I can't remember if it was on air or over the phone, but I mean,
right,
an act of war, and there is a way you can legally suspend Miranda rights, which they had done. So
right,
then why did they re-grant him these Miranda rights when it actually fell under the, something to public safety? You know,
yeah, they call it a public safety exception, yeah.
Yeah, public safety exception. And, you know, an act of war, a bombing against innocent civilians, I think that warrants, you know, he just put the, you know, he just checked the box on that one.
I don't know. That's why I said we got a lot more questions than we have answers.
You know,
I'm just surprised that they didn't say that, you know, that they buried him at sea like the last time that we killed Osama bin Laden.
Well, as far as the gunshot goes, I mean, part of me is kind of like, you know, kind of just thinking outside the box, was that his brother trying to kill him because he didn't think that he had the strength to go through with martyring himself? Was that a stray police shot? Did he botch his own suicide? Because on the boat, he had actually tried to set fire to the boat to kill himself. And I think that was right when the police finally went in, was when the boat started smoking.
Right. And I always have to remind people, anytime people doubt these stories, I tell them about the government tests and the government drills. And we talk about the fact that, and Paul Holliger and I and Mr. Springson were talking about the fact that the government had tests scheduled for a bomb, a drill. Well, I always bring this stuff up, and I bring it up right now because just this week we find out in the state of Oregon, halfway Oregon, there's a city there where teachers were shocked and frightened when a school held an unplanned shooting drill. So we always hear about these after the fact, and people think that we're just saying this in hindsight being 2020, and we appreciate your comments there, Mayo. I'll put you back in the queue for a second, but we always hear about, oh, yeah, you say that. Well, this is an open story. This is from CBS. CBS. That's a Freudian slip. CBS Seattle, teachers were shocked and frightened when the school held an unplanned shooting drill. What if these teachers had been armed? What would have happened if these teachers tried to defend themselves against an unannounced government shooting drill? You see, they were frightened because they were made unaware, and the government officials said, well, we had to make them scared and unaware because we had to emulate what a real shooting at a school would be like. It's happened out there, folks. These stories are happening, and you need to pay attention to see these stories are happening. School drill for shooting in Halfway, Oregon. Look it up.
Oh, being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
And we thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The show flies by. We thank Mayo for calling in. We thank folks that if you want to become a sponsor, that you will do like Mr. Springsteen said there in the ad and let him know about it. We invite you to listen to the shows Sunday night through Thursday night. We have Sunday night is our own Ken Mulman, the once and now again chairman of the Libertarian Party of Kentucky. He holds a show on Sunday night at this airtime called Liberty Unbridled. Then we have Ed Springsteen and Ed Martin on Monday and Tuesday nights, Mr. Springsteen and myself on Wednesday nights on the Ed Springsteen show, and then I come back here on Thursday nights with the Thursday Night Truth show. And yeah, we were kind of all over the map tonight, but it all came down to one big thing, and that was ousting government scandals. And we didn't get to get into the Bilderberg plans for this year because they are scheduled to meet again in June this year in the United Kingdom. Imagine that. But we did talk about the late, great Jim Tucker, and we just want to close out by saying more and more people need to be like Mr. Tucker. More and more people need to get off their asses and get involved. Maybe you are already. That's great. Tell a friend to get involved. Maybe you are already having friends write letters and stage protests. Too many people think, oh, there's not an election this year, so I can't do anything. Folks, civil disobedience or nullification or standing up for your 10th Amendment rights, your First Amendment, Second Amendment rights, writing letters, protesting, lobbying, as citizen lobbyists, these things are far more important than voting. They're all important in the big scheme, but you need to be more like Mr. Jim Tucker and stand up to the banksters, stand up to the politicians and government whores, and tell them death to your new world order.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!